1083 to 1034. My God, my Father, blissful man, fellow may I call thee man. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine.
graciously pleased to help, I would seek to direct your minds to words you will find in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I leave the many, many things that might well be said by way of introduction, and they are many. I want to come directly to the blessed words before us by way of text. And there are three lines of consideration, and the text opens itself in this respect. First of all, there are the recipients of salvation. Secondly, there is the extent of salvation. And thirdly, there is the ground of salvation. May the Lord mercifully enable us to look a little at these three aspects of the words before us. First of all, the recipients. That's the important matter, my dear friend. Whatever else you consider, and you and I amongst the recipients of this treasure, and it is a treasure, saved to the uttermost. Are you and I amongst them? Yes. Who are they? Well, the text will open itself. They come unto God. That's the answer, my dear friend, to the inquiry of your poor mind and heart. Of course, they're sinners. None other than sinners come. This is the characteristic. They come unto God. He is able to save them to the uttermost. They come unto God. That's the way they come, friend. No man cometh unto the Father, of course, but by me. We'll come to that a little later. But they come unto God entirely, casting all your care upon him. Isn't a question, my dear friend, to try and to reconcile the sacrifice of Christ with the great mountain of your sin and iniquity? You'll never be able to reconcile those. Come unto God. Come unto God. As we read in that lovely chapter in Isaiah 45, and you notice doubtless the repetition of it, I am God and there's none else. There's none else for poor sinners to draw near to. You don't need any other, my dear friend. These are the characters. They come unto God entirely, committing their all unto him, knowing full well he understands their case. He's made provision to meet their case. They come in the entirety of it, friend. Oh, it's an important aspect, friend. We sung in our second hymn that blessed repetition, nor shall you seek his face in vain. Oh, blessed truth, but my dear friend, there must be a coming to him entirely. Not leading to your own understanding, and or following the whims and the fancies of men, whoever they may be. I hope you never come to God, my dear friend, for by me or anything connected with me, I'm only a hell-deserving sinner myself. They come unto God entirely, committing their all entirely to Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring to pass. He will bring to pass. Is the assurance of the promise that is given. Commit thy way unto Him. Yes, they come entirely, but they come constantly. Not like men, you know. Men will come once or twice. I suppose I've been asked the question more than any other. How can I know the difference between Spirit-indicted prayer and Satan-indicted prayer? Yes, there's a lot of that. There's only one difference, my dear friend. And it'll be very clear. The Spirit-indicted prayer will never say no for an answer. Never. You go on. You can go on for years if need be, as God shall sovereignly appoint. That satanic indicted prayer from any other source of earth, my dear friend, a few expressions, and thou gradually disappear, friend. Examine your own heart in this respect, and you'll find it invariably true, friend. Oh, yes, they come entirely, but they come constantly. This is an urgent matter, friend. This is an urgent matter. I can no denial take, says the hymn writer, when I plead for Jesus' sake. They come constantly. Be much in prayer, my dear friend. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. Long as they live, should Christians pray. For only while they pray, they live. Hymn writer was very true, you know. Many of those old hymns, they were. Only while they pray, they live. Only while you breathe, naturally you live, my dear friend. Directly you stop breathing, you drop dead. And directly you stop praying, my dear friend, you drop dead. Dead to joy, if nothing else. Yes. Oh, we need more prayer, more prayer, more prayer. More united prayer, but more personal prayer. Yes. It's the praying church that is the prosperous church. It's the praying soul that is the progressive soul. Be much in prayer. They that come unto God, He is able to save them to the uttermost that do this, that are much in prayer. I mustn't tarry too long on these headings, and so much here, and that all, my dear friend, how God Himself singularizes this matter. Turn to Acts 9 in the case of Saul of Tarsus, misunderstood by Ananias, misunderstood by everybody else, seemingly, that God put His finger on the spot. He didn't say, behold, he's got a desire. No. Behold, he's got this, he's got that, he's got... No. Behold, he prayeth. That's God's answer. That's heaven's answer. And if you're praying, my dear friend, never mind about the words, they may be ungrammatical. Never mind about the hesitancy, there may be well much of that. There may be much trembling, but if you're trying to pour out your heart, never mind about words even at all. That's only the avenue. Prayer is in the heart, friend. Oh, for the heart to blend a footstool of mercy, and to find the hearing ear and the understanding heart, and it'll be there, friend. They come, I say, entirely, but they come to constantly, yes, but they come believingly. Oh, you say now that I fear that's cut me off. I come wondering whether God can bless my poor soul. Has he not said within his word? Has he not said much within his word that your poor aching heart can believe? There. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, is the exhortation. If I begin to start quoting, there's so much that would need to be quoted. Oh, these souls come believing. As I said earlier, they can't reconcile how this great multitude of iniquity can be dealt with in any way, whether heaven by heaven or otherwise. But here's the word of the Lord. Cling to the word, plead the word, wrestle upon the ground of the word. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Do you believe it? Yes, you say, I believe I can grasp that a little. I'm only a sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all and in all. Yes, they come believingly. They come expectantly. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it, is the exhortation of God, the infinite God, to a hell-deserving sinner, and the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome at the throne of grace and Saviour's blood to plead expectantly. They come. Oh, yes, God has a vast storehouse. Oh, turn your mind back at your leisure and read the experience of Joseph of old, a replica of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, that he opened the storehouses of Egypt, all of them. His brethren had to come to those storehouses. There was far more there in those storehouses than ever they would need. The storehouses were all open. Oh, I mustn't tarry. All, I'd love to dwell on that all. There's all in the precious Christ, my dear friend. All that your soul will ever need, both for time and for eternity, come expectantly, friend. This is grace in operation. You cannot command it, friend. You cannot work it up, my dear friend. No. Come expectantly. This is how they come. They come to God, the all-seeing one, to whom nothing can be hid, to whom the secrets of all men are naked and open. You've got to come, my dear friend. With all your depravity, but with all your need, and with all your longing, and with all your expectation, and believing, coming reminding him, thou hast said, the man of old said, thou hast said, I will surely do thee good. Now, Lord, this is thy word, it's pledged. It's pledged to be fulfilled. Now, Lord, fulfill it to my poor heart. Yes, but how do they come? How do they come? By him. There's only one way. Only one way. You can't come into the presence of a holy God alone, friend. It's an impossibility. God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. know the blessed thought that's one that stands between. We cling to that sometimes, my dear friend. My poor heart does oftentimes. When I approach to God, He stands between, shielding me, presenting my case, pleading upon the ground of His own atoning merit, and prevailing as He ever does. Oh, blessed God, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He's there solely to plead for poor sinners, friend. Okay, not to call the righteous. He didn't come to save them and didn't come to intercede for them. No, it came not. Only for sinners. Only for sinners. What infinite mercy, friend. What amazing mercy God has shown. Not that He condones sin. No need for me to dwell upon that aspect. But the amazing mercy that God ever thought and ever loved and ever provided for the utterly depraved sinners beyond hope, without God, without hope, that God provided. They come by Him, that is Jesus Christ, the blessed advocate and the intercessor for sinners. And He's there, I repeat, solely to plead on their behalf upon the ground of His own atoning merit, not of anything of theirs. Not of anything of theirs. That's only rags and tatters. He cannot present them and obtain anything in return, but He presents His own atoning blood. Yes, they come by Him as being solely sufficient. Solely sufficient. There was no other good enough to pay the price. God can never accept two, my dear friend. Never. You cannot bring in one hand your seeming goodness and in the other hand the merits of a precious Christ. It'll never gain access and it'll never gain acceptance, and it'll certainly never bring forth answer of peace. They come by Him entirely, sufficiently, sufficient to meet their case, vile though they may well be, beyond expression. You wouldn't dare to reveal to others, would you? God knows. They come on the ground of the atoning merit of the precious Christ as being sufficient to meet their case. The blood of Jesus Christ is the testimony of the Word of God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And you can add all the adjectives you will. All kinds of sin, all degrees of sin, all long-standing aspects of sin. Put them all in, I don't mind. God gathers them all up in the one declaration. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that must include yours, friend. And I humbly trust it includes mine, great though it be. Oh, what blessed encouragement as they come through Him as sufficient. And they come through Him as the promised one. He was sent for that very purpose. And every promise is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And again, you'll have to excuse me, I can't begin to stop quoting. Where am I going to start? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. All of it, all of them. It'll be according to the declaration. There it is. They come unto God by him on the ground that he is the promised one, the only one, the all-sufficient one. What are they coming for? They come for help. They come for help. If you got to the end of self, friend, it's a good place to be in. It's not a comfortable place, I acknowledge that, but it's a good place. Oh, the psalmist said, from the ends of the earth have I cried unto thee. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And you can go on and on reading. The blessed book is full of it, friend. God has given you every encouragement to come for help in time of need. Look unto me and be ye saved. We read, see, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. None else. Yes, they come for help. Do you feel weak? Do you feel frail? Do you feel helpless? These are the very characters, my God, my friend. And grace makes them to feel this. And they come in the time of their own depravity seeking help. Help in every direction. If I digress at all, my dear friend, you only come to the Lord for help, for salvation. Of course, that's the primary. But what about those helps in the daily round and the common task? You never meet with them. They never have to face them. The problems of the home and the problems of the business and the problems of the church. Unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, and you can come to him for help in every time of need. As I quoted, my God shall supply all your need, all of it, and all of them, every one, as he did to Israel of old. The command to them was, stand still and see the salvation of God. Blessed thing to stand and see the blessed activity of God delivering you out of distresses, your poor natural mind, delivering you from all your fears and misgivings, delivering you from satanic influence and power, delivering you from all your own weakness, friend. You can go on, this is endless. Become the help and become the strength, and more or less touched upon that, and they come for encouragement. They come for encouragement. The dear woman in John 3 declared, come see a man. Oh yes, encouragement. Speaking a word in season to the weary. By the way, you may well meet with such. My dear friend, in your travels, be ready to speak a word of encouragement to them. But receive the encouragement first from the Lord, friend. Don't try and pass on anything of your own. That'll only be deprived and shortcoming. No. Encouragement. Oh, you want encouragement. The Lord will supply it. Encouragement to those who feel weak and drooping by the way, and unless someone come and support and sustain, thou fall by the way. There's so many characters, if one tarried, one could direct your minds to, if need be, in this matter, they come needing encouragement. And when don't you and I need encouragement? Speaking for myself, my dear friend, I need it every moment of every day, every moment. Encouragement. The psalmist should say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. That'll be an encouragement to you, friend. On another occasion, when he lost the sweetness of it, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and that'll be an encouragement to you. You can go on and apply all the promises. Yes, they come for encouragement, but they come for blessing. Yes, summarizing it all, they come for salvation. That's the primary consideration. It's that matter that fills their heart and mind continually. It's that matter that is the substance of all their prayers. Say unto my soul, my soul. You will find, my dear friend, as you read the Word of God and read it carefully, that all the fundamental things of divine grace are in the personal sense. Always I. So I quoted from the psalmist, say unto my soul, restore unto my soul. As I quoted already from Paul, that I may know him. He might well have said, I want all these people to know them, that he'd been ministering to all, but in the fundamentals he said, that I may know him, that I may win Christ and be found in him. I count all things that lost, yea, I count them all but done, that I may win Christ. Personal, friend, and it's got to be personal. These are coming to God individually, and they're seeking salvation, the consciousness of it, the seal of it, the joy of it, the power of it. Yes, seeking salvation. Why do they come? I touched a little on that already. Why do they come? Because they are persuaded that none can save but him. Going back to our reading again, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There's none else. I tremble, my dear friends, at the many in our day in which we live that are looking in all directions. They'll only be disappointed, my dear friend. They'll never receive. These, they come unto God by him, because they must come, because they know he has the words of eternal life, and only he has the power to bestow. He has made and is the substance and the basis of all the promises of the Word of God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and there was only one Jesus Christ, my dear friend. There was only one sacrifice. And so far as you and I are concerned, there's only one poor sinner, friend. Yes, they come unto him for salvation. And I hasten on the extent of salvation. God gathers it all up, my dear friend. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. Of course it embraces the he saves from the uttermost. For God has always his mind on the ultimate. You'll find that in your reading of the scripture. He's all dwelling upon the earth. And these that come unto God by him, he is able to save them to the uttermost. The margin in the Bible usually renders it, I expect it does, yes it does here in this Bible, evermore. Now you got out of your depths, haven't you? So long. This is the power of the blood, friend, to cleanse to the uttermost sins of the past, sins of the present, and sins of the future. You're dealing with a God that knows them all, and he knows the sins you're going to commit tomorrow, friend, if your life is lengthened up. He saves to the uttermost. He saves evermore. This is what they come for, friend. This is what he is able to do. Well might you inquire with Numbers 23:23, what has God wrought? Oh my dear friend, you and I have been brought to know or have a humble hope as the possessors of his grace. Do you know what he's done for you? Saved you to all eternity. So that when your sins are sought for, they shall never be found. When Satan comes, when the law comes, when justice comes and searches you to the very depths for those sins, they'll never be found, friend. They're gone. He saved to the uttermost. This is the blessed extent to the uttermost of guilt, to the uttermost of dejection, to every phase of experience that your poor heart and mind will have to know in this matter, saved to the uttermost of despair. Never got there, friend. I've been there, I believe, only once. Oh, it's an awful experience. Oh, but when he comes and says, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven. That'll banish all the clouds, my dear friend. That'll dispel all the fears, but only that. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. There's the blessedness of the extent of it, to the uttermost of my conception. You'll never get to the depths of this. You'll never get to the lengths, breadths, heights of this. God has never promised that you will, friend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the beginning and that's the end. And that's all that God can say or will say to poor sinners. He saves to the uttermost of time. You can't grasp that, can you? Because you don't know how long it's going to be. So far as your earthly sojourn, we know not what a day may bring forth. If we're in Christ, we shall dwell in eternity with him, a never-ending eternity. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting, never-ending. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's the extent of salvation. This is the blessed revelation. You can go back, as I said, you can go back to Isaiah 45 at your leisure and read it again and notice the repetition. I am God and there's none else. There's no other way, no other means, whatever. But I am sufficient. These, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Now let's look at the ground, briefly, the ground of salvation, and touch a little upon it. the intercession of Christ. The intercession of Christ must have a basis for it. God cannot deny himself. An eternal God, as Christ was with the Father and the Spirit, one, three persons and one God, they were all God, perfect God. But neither of them can save the sinner by themselves. One thing God cannot do, friend. He's holy, just and good. In his sovereign pleasure he has given the law. He must fulfill the law. He has appointed divine justice and he must follow the dictates of justice. So Christ, in his intercessory work, must have a basis. He cannot come to the Father and say, I am thy eternal Son. I have desired and I have appointed to save these sinners. The Father will say, they are condemned already by the law. They are under penalties of death. No, the basis of it all, Christ has died. Simple words, aren't they, friend? But what profound truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sin, and he gave his life a ransom for many. Are you included, friend? Am I? Oh, I know it's the theme of the gospel, and you've heard it so many, many times, but stop and think about it, friend. It's the greatest wonder that earth could ever know. Or heaven revealed, the eternal, co-equal Son of God laid aside his glory because he loved. I can't get beyond that. Herein is love. Not that we love God, that isn't worthy of the name, but that he loved us and gave himself. You'll never fathom that. And you'll never exhaust the consideration of it. I've been trying now for nearly almost 40 years to proclaim it, and I haven't touched the fringe of it yet. How can you? Where is the mortal mind that can grasp it? Where are mortal words that can unfold it? But here is the blessedness of the truth. It is done. The great transaction's done. And I hope by divine grace you and I can add, I am my Lord's, and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess that love divine. Jesus died. Yes, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. He ever liveth. Cling to those two words. The whole of the life of the precious Christ, risen from Calvary's rugged tree, is devoted to making intercession for them. If you want to call to your mighty friend to lay your poor head on this night before you go to bed, read the 17th of John. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. They're outside. They don't want me. They don't desire me. I have no thought concern. I pray for them. And you can go down the chapter, but they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, and he ever liveth, ever liveth. You covet, don't you, my dear friend? Rightly so. You covet the prayers of your brethren and sisters in Christ, I do. I value them when I stand in the pulpit and try to speak in the name of the Lord. I value them. Oh, but what are the prayers of Christ, friend? What are the prayers of Christ? I pray for them. I pray for each one of them. I pray for all connected with them in their experience of me. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And there is the basis, I say. His whole life has been spent, both when he was here upon earth, was devoted to poor sinners. He had a message for them. He had a purpose in his coming, which was for them. And now, upon the ground of his accomplishments and his victory over death, hell, sin, and the grave, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. His intercession, my dear friend, his intercession has only one limit. He pleads for those who come to God by him. That is the limit of his intercession. If you're going to put a limit upon it, if you want a limit, an all-sufficient intercession, you don't want anything to be added to it, but there is a limit to it. Does it embrace your case, my dear friend, and mine? Can you come with a hymn writer somewhere who recorded the words, I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all? Can you come there, friend? He ever liveth to make intercession for them, and only them. With them numbered would I be now and through eternity. It's the precious truth. And what if my soul should be left out when thou for them shall call? But God can twice, God cannot demand the price twice. First at my bleeding short his hand, and then again at mine. It's an impossibility, friend. It's neither required, neither will it be offered or given. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all, every one of them that cometh unto God. No sinner, however vile and base he may be, would never cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise, under no circumstances whatever, will I cast out. Get the assurance of it, my dear friend, from the word of God that can never fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And God will never forfeit his word. He'll fulfill it to the letter of it, my dear friend. Whether you understand it or not, whether you can grasp it or not, all right, he'll fulfill every word of it, my dear friend, to the very last degree. And he says to the uttermost, if you can measure that, to the uttermost, eternity, the ages to the ages, ever going on, to know the full enjoyment of it. And now we can only see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now we can only know in part. Then shall we know even as also we are known. If it wasn't that for the fact that that's the word of God, I daren't attempt to quote it. then shall we know, even as also we are known. We shan't be gods, but we shall know as God knows. As Paul declared in the Philippian epistle, gloriously true in the same respect that I may apprehend, he uses the same word, divinely inspired, of course, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then you're going to understand, my dear friend, and not till then, what he has apprehended you for, how he has apprehended you, and then you'll know it. And then with unlimited powers you'll be able to respond. And I can well understand the old divine that said long, long ago, eternity will be all too short to utter half the praise. And it will, friend. It will. When you and I, as a hell-deserving sinner ransomed from the fall, grasp without a limitation and understand without any measure to it, mind of God in this matter, it'll call for our unending praise, and he'll be worthy, and that'll be the cry of our heart. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It'll be the cry of all the redeemed, friend. There'll be no divisions there, no differences of opinion there. No. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, yes, to receive all glory, dominion, power. Wherefore he is able to save. The only one that is able to do anything. The only one that is able to do anything. No man can be brought there. He'll try, yes. He'll do his best, yes. They all have to know failure, some degree or other. And in any case, they have material to work with. The carpenter can make a cabinet to give him the wood. The builder can build a house if you give him the bricks. Give him a waste piece of land and say, build me a house. He said, well, if you go up the road and get the material. No, without the material. Oh, you can't have the material. Well, I can't build a house. I can't build a house with nothing. But Jesus Christ lifted the out of the dunghill and brought from nothing to eternal glory. This is the depths and the heights and the lengths of the breadth of his agony, scoffing and spitting that he might accomplish that. But Jesus Christ, as I quoted already, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And it's an impossible task, buddy, for any human, and even God himself as God. Jesus Christ said, I will go. And the body had to be prepared for him in order to suffer. And he suffered, bled and died, the poor sinners might live. May you and I, my dear friends, know the blessedness of it. Hail and rejoice in the blessedness of it. And lowly at his footstool ascribe all the praise to his great and holy name, as in the uttermost, knowing as then he knows us, we shall then be able to respond to him.
the Lord bless his precious truth for his name's sake. gracious Lord, we bless thee for thy precious word. And oh, what is thy word, O Lord, if we never partake of it? Make us all partakers, we pray, that we may come unto God by Jesus Christ. And know that thou art wilt save to the uttermost. Bless thy truth. Forgive anything that has been said amiss, we pray, and blot it out. And now dismiss us with thy blessing. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet fellowship of the eternal Spirit, be with us each and with all thy people everywhere, both now and evermore. Amen. Amen.